Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
That just freak you out? We've been showing that video for a couple of weeks, and a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine from college, reached out this week on Facebook, and she basically was like, "Hey, I'm excited about the series. Video looks great. How did you get in my office?" And Rachel, Doug gave us the key to your office. That's how we got into your office. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of times what I do is I try to come out here and I try to create this tension, right? And I try to set up this problem that this series is going to solve through God's word. But we don't have to do that with this, because I don't have to convince any one of you in the room that you're busy, because you're all busy. It doesn't even matter what your stage of life is, whether you're a teenager, whether you're in college, whether you're an adult, whether you're married, whether you're single. If you're single, you're busy. You have a lot to do. If you're in school, you have a lot to do. If you are have a career, you have a lot to do. You're trying to get your job. You're trying to turn that job into a career. You're trying to praise Jesus that this is not my career and I'm going to get a career one day. You're trying to date. You're trying to figure things out. Maybe you're going out to Broadway, you know, having some fun out of Broadway, trying to meet people. You're not going to meet people at Broadway, by the way. I've told you that before. Meet people at church. That's where you meet good Christian single people, is at church. But you're trying all kind of things, man. You're trying the online deal. You're trying ChristianMingle.com. Some of you even tried FarmersOnly.com. You're so hard up. You're like, I'll be a farmer. I don't care. Try JDate. You don't care. Whatever it takes, right? You just want to meet somebody. You're single and you feel busy. And there's a group of people in this room that are all laughing right now because they have children. And they're like, we know what it felt like to be single without children. Shut up. You're not busy. That's what you're thinking. I'm married. I have three children, 8, 6, and 3. Three boys. Most of you know that. And yes, when you have kids, man, it's crazy, right? Like you thought you were busy, and then you become busier. Or even when you just get married, you become busy because not only do you have your own busyness you have to deal with, you have their busyness you have to deal with, and you have their family's busyness, and that's always fun. And, you know, you have all this kind of stuff going on. Then the kids, man, you got to get the kid. Notice as your kids get older, you stop being their parent, you start being their chauffeur, and you try to get them from place to place to place. You probably experienced that right now. You got to get the kids from soccer, get them to basketball, and then get them over to dance, then get them to cheerleading, and then get them from cheerleading back to second kind of dance and travel soccer and then all this kind of stuff. Then they got to get home so they can finish the AP project so they can go to college early, get a really good grade in college, get a really good degree, and then get out and get in the real world and realize college didn't matter that much. I'm just kidding, children. College matters a great deal. Do your best. The world is not run by C students. It really is. Unfortunately, it is. But I don't have to explain it to you. We all get it, right? We all get this idea that we're busy, and we all would love, oh, we see that, and we all can relate. We're like, yes, I would love some breathing room. I would love some space. I would just love some time, but I don't know where to find it. I don't know where it is. I don't even know how to begin the process. I don't know how to do it. Man, we are so glad that you're here today, because that's what we're going to talk about beginning today and for the next 4 weeks. Because here's what we believe, and here's what many of us, even if you grew up in church, even if you've been a Christ follower your whole life, we never realize that this idea of busyness and time is something God really cares about. And God actually has a lot to say to us about it. Right, we just have to kind of listen, and we have to embrace it, and we kind of have to accept it. And so what we're going to do throughout this series is I'm going to basically try to show you from God's word, from the Bible, how we can begin to create some breathing room in our lives. And I do say create breathing room. If some of you are already saying, time out, stop. You want me to add something else to my plate? You want me to create? I don't need to create breathing room. I need a bigger room. I need more room, right? That's what we think. So let me go ahead and kind of let some of you off the hook. I'm going to kind of burst a bubble right at the start. Some of you, if we're honest, probably most of you, most of us, will never have enough time in the day. Ever. You will never have enough time for everything you're trying to do right now. So just go ahead and embrace that. Let it go. You will never have enough time. Do you know why? Because you're trying to do everything. And there's only one being that is capable of doing everything. And his name is God. And you are not God. Isn't that freeing? just got to say that. I'm not God. You won't even say it.
You're like, I kind of think I am God. I don't know what you're talking about.
See, we're not God, but we try to be, and we try to do everything. We try to fit it all in. And one of the things we're going to talk about in this series is, man, you just can't do that. That's just not possible. That's just not the way it works. We can't do everything. Never could, never will. Now, let me go ahead and help you, because we're going to talk about some different things, and I'm going to use examples, and I already made some examples about teenagers and all the things they do and all your activities and all that. So let me go ahead and make a disclaimer right at the top. Right? Let me make this 100% clear. The goal of this series is not to make you feel bad about your hobbies, about your activities, about what your kids do, about what you do with your friends. That's not the goal at all. And I have to say that because this is a series that we did some of this content a few years ago. We were in the middle school before we moved in here. We did a series very similar to this one. And it's the only series in the history of our church that I can directly tie. I preached a series and people left the church because I preached the series. Now, folks, I have said, as the pastor of this church, if you are single, you should not have sex with the person you're dating. People didn't leave. I've said, if you have a job, you should give 10% of that money before you pay the government, before you pay anybody, directly to God. People didn't leave. But when I dare to talk about how you spent your time and dare to present an alternative that maybe God has something to say about how we spend the most precious resource we will ever have. It is truly a disposable resource. It is non-renewable. You can never get back 1 second that you've already spent. The second I try to talk about that, well, preacher, that's really none of your business what it is I do with my family, and I'm leaving the church. Okay. And now we're doing it again. But honestly, my goal, I don't want to make you feel bad. That's never the goal of what we do up here. Now, if in presenting God's truth, you become convicted by that and say, well, I'm not living my life that way, that's not my fault. Not me. It's my job to present the truth. You got to deal with it. And so what I want to do right at the top, I want to give you kind of a fundamental principle that's going to guide our entire series, okay? And you're not going to like it. You're going to want to argue. You're going to want to push back when I say it. I just know you are, because I did. But it's the truth. And here's the truth. All of us in this room, you, me, we all, have enough time every day to accomplish everything God wants us to accomplish. You have enough time every day to accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish. That is a fact. Why do I think it's a fact? Well, because one of Jesus' closest followers, a guy named Peter, who was with Jesus for 3 years, he preached the very first sermon that was ever preached. When he preached, 3,000 people were saved in that day. He was the first mega pastor. He was killing it. He was blowing it. They were tweeting about him. They were twittering about him. It was awesome. Peter was eventually killed for his faith. And Peter wrote two letters to some Christians to kind of give them some encouragement, some teaching. And in his second letter, we find this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says this. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He has given us everything we need. That means he's given us enough time to accomplish everything he wants us to accomplish. Now, let me make it clear. He's given us enough time to accomplish everything he wants us to accomplish. He has not given us enough time to accomplish everything we want to accomplish. And that really is the crux of the series, and that's the crux of our problem. Because we really don't have a time problem. What we have is a priorities problem. See, if we have enough time every day, it's what God says. We have enough time every day to accomplish everything he wants us to accomplish. But we feel busy and we feel hectic and we don't get accomplished everything we're trying to get accomplished. Guess what? It means we're trying to do some things God doesn't want us to do. And there may even be some things God wants us to do that we don't have time for because of all the things we're doing. Because we don't have a time problem. We have a priorities problem. So if we want more breathing room in our life, it means we have to change the priorities of our life. I know that sounds weird because, like, no, we think we need more room. We need more room. No, we don't. We don't. We have enough room. We just got to change how we live in that room. Now, I know that might be, that was a lot of content, a lot to take in. And so what I want to do now is I want to look at a story from the life of Jesus. Because my goal for you today isn't that you walk out here completely transformed and that you have all these ideas and, man, everything's just perfect. Today, I want you to walk out of here with one thing. And that one thing is going to build the foundation for the next 4 weeks. This series is going to build on each other, right? I can't give it all to you in 1 week because you wouldn't be able to do it all. So we're going to start one thing today. Then we're going to take it a little further next week, then a little further next week, then a little further the last week. And so I really encourage you, if this is something that you really struggle with, do everything you can to be here. If not, we put them up online every week. You can follow along. You can check it out. But because today, I'm not going to even try to solve all your time management problems. My goal today is for you to make one change. And it's really a way of thinking. Just to change the way you think about things. Because if you can get this, if you can change the way you think about time and you can change the way you think about this other stuff, everything else is going to become easy. But you've got to make this one fundamental change first. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story, like I said, from the life of Jesus. And we know this story because a man named Luke tells us about this story. Luke was a historian. He was friends with a guy named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul wrote about half the New Testament. He was a pastor. And Luke was one of his friends. And he would go around with Paul and help start churches. And eventually Luke decided, you know what, I want to help write a biography. And there are four biographies about the life of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke wrote Luke. Isn't that convenient? And anyway, Luke was a historian, and Luke would actually go around and interview people, and he compiled this, and then he actually wrote a second book called the Book of Acts, which tells the story of the early church. And so that's how we have this biography of Jesus' life. And what we're going to find in this biography, in this instance, is we're going to see a story, and it's a story about Jesus kind of popping in on two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha reacts the way we would all react if Jesus decided to pop in. Mary takes a different approach. So let me go ahead and read you a little bit of the story and then we'll talk about it. But what we're going to see as we read this story is one sister is going to be right in how they respond and one sister is going to be wrong. And I'll go ahead, spoiler alert, Martha's not right. All right, so here we go. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be, verse 38. If you have your Bibles, Luke 10, 38. If not, it can be up on the screen. And first of all, I'll say, you can tell a man wrote this because here's what he says. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. See, a man wrote that. Because if a woman had wrote it, she would have said, on a Saturday when my house was a mess and the kids were all crazy and there was nothing going on, Jesus rudely showed up at my house with his friends asking for food. See, they didn't have text messaging. They didn't have cell phones. They had no warning Jesus was showing up. And not only does he show up, he brings friends. On a Saturday. It's pajama day at my house on Saturday. Many days you see more laundry than you see footage on the floor. You can't even see the flooring because there's so much laundry. Jesus shows up with his friends and says, I want some food. Martha was flipping out. The same way you would flip out if on a Saturday when the house is a wreck and there's nothing, no food, Jesus shows up. Can I come in? No! No! But of course she lets Jesus in, but Martha is freaking out. She's running around the house. She's trying to kick stuff on her. She's trying to hide everything. She's saying, this is a full alarm, everybody hands on deck situation. We got to solve this thing. This is crazy. Jesus here. Jesus here. Jesus here. What are we going to do? Jesus here. Her sister, Mary, responds a little differently. Verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Really. Folks, we got an all hands on deck situation here, and Mary's sitting it out. Jesus shows up. Martha's like, Jesus is here, Jesus is here. And Mary goes, oh, Jesus is here. Something tells me Mary was the one that, like, if she played soccer, she was, like, more fascinated with the dandelions than she was the ball. You know, she's like, oh, da-da, Jesus is here, Jesus is here. Hi, Jesus, let's hang out. House is a wreck. All the stuff's going on, but Mary just sits herself right down in front of Jesus. But like I said, spoiler alert, Mary's the hero in this story. Mary handles it correctly. Mary does not handle it the way you or I would handle it. Do you know why? Because Mary was not thinking time. She was not thinking about all that had to be done. Mary was thinking priorities. And Jesus was there. And when Jesus is at your house, you stop cleaning. And you sit and you listen to what Jesus has to say. See, what Mary was able to do, oh, please, please get this. She was able to ignore the urgent and focus on the important. When's the last time you stopped and ignored the urgent and really focused on the important? Shoot, let me preach that to myself. When's the last time? We all struggle with that, right? Of course we do. Especially Martha. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. See, she was distracted. Jesus was at her house, and she was distracted. And you must see that what distracted her were good things. They were not bad things. They weren't sins. She was cleaning her house. She was trying to be hospitable. She was preparing a meal for Jesus. Is there anything more noble in life than to feed Jesus? That's what she was doing. But Luke tells us that she was distracted by it. Now, I don't understand. How could she be distracted by good things? How could she be distracted by these things? Well, it's because these good things took priority over the main thing. And that's something you have to think about in your own life. Good things become bad things when they become distractions from the God things. Let me say it again. Good things become bad things when they become distractions from the God things. And the way they become distractions is when they begin to take a higher priority and a higher place in your life than God. And that 100% is what had happened here. Jesus is at her house, and she is so distracted by the fact that Jesus is at her house, she's not even thinking about the fact that, wait, Jesus is at my house. Have you ever been so distracted by the things of God that you kind of forget that God's even a part of it? You know, like, man, Wellspring, they need my help, man. I need to go on Saturday night and set up, and I need to be the early Sunday morning also so that I can serve and help. And I need to be at both services. I can't even go on the service because they need me back in the kids' area. And then I'm going to stay after and tear down because if not, Eric will cry. Then I'm going to go up to the office during the week because they need me to serve. They need me. So you can be so distracted by good things that you can miss God. And that's exactly what's happened to Martha. And we don't think they're bad. They're not bad. Oh, but it's just charity, man. We want to be a part of five charities because we want to really give back and we want to be great parents. We want to make sure our kids are well-rounded and they get into college. So they have to do all these activities. Yes, they have to do gymnastics and dance and travel soccer on the same day. They have to because they're six. And if they don't, what'll happen when they turn seven? Oh, I can't even think about it. So we're so convinced we've got to do all these things that not only are we convinced about them, we complain about the other people who don't do it. We don't get it. Sometimes we even go to God and we're like, God, will you help me out? See, that's what Martha does. Look at this. She came to Jesus and said, Lord. And I don't think she said Lord in a nice way. I don't think it was like, hello, Lord. I think it was, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? Wow, that was passive aggressive right there. Oh, Martha's the worst. Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? See, this was before social media. Had social media existed, Martha would have just tweeted that junk. She'd have gone on Facebook, talked about Mary and how she was lazy, and then all her little friends would have come up. Oh, we never liked Mary either, yeah. What's wrong with her? She says, tell her to come and help me. Jesus, tell the person who's doing the right thing to stop and come help the person who's doing the wrong thing. But Martha was convinced she was doing the right thing. She was absolutely convinced. Do you know why? Some of you grew up in church. I grew up in church, and so maybe you know this phrase. I grew up in church, so I knew it. Last hour, they hadn't really heard it. Have you ever heard the phrase, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy? I feel like I should just drop the mic. I didn't come up with that one, sorry. But that's what was happening. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Folks, he just wants you out of the game. And so if he can distract you with enough good things, with enough charities, with enough activities, with enough serving at Wellspring, with enough love weekends, if he can distract you with all that stuff, he can take you out of the game. Because you get so busy chasing and chasing and looking and looking and wondering and wondering and wondering that you miss Jesus when he's at your house. And that's exactly what Martha had done. I would argue that's exactly what many of us have done. See, we look at Martha like she's crazy, but we do the same thing. God, just give me some more time. I know I want to get home with my kids, but just give me some more time to close this deal, and then I'll go home because I'm doing it for them, Lord. God, I just need a little more time. Just a little more time to get done what I need to get done, and then I'll go home. God, I need you to really help me today, God. I need you to help me. I need to catch all the green lights, and I need for there to be no idiots in the left lane. I really need it because she's got her basketball practice, and then we've got to get her to soccer practice, and I've got to get him from taekwondo, and then he's got to get over to his art lessons, and I've got to do it all, and it's got to happen today. God, please help me to serve you better. And we go to God. And we say, God, I can't accomplish everything I'm trying to accomplish. I need more room. And here's what he says back. But here's the question, before I even tell you what he says. Martha was not ready for his answer. The success or failure of this series in your life will be determined right now by your response to Jesus' answer. No one can control your response but you. But here's what Jesus says. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha. I want you to see, he wasn't mad at her. He wasn't angry. I think he felt sorry for her. I think he pitied her. He said, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. See, Jesus knows. We don't think Jesus knows how we feel, but he knows. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what you're upset about. But here's what he wants to say about all those things. What he said to Martha, he says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. He says, Martha, Mary's got this right. The only thing she should be concerned about with right now is me. See, that's what he's saying to Martha. He's saying, you're distracted by all these things, but I'm here. And you should be focusing on me. And not all those things. Now, please hear me. That doesn't mean you should spend your life all day, every day in your house reading the Bible and praying and doing nothing else. Please don't do that. You will become weird and no one will like you. Like really weird. Don't do that. And the reason I know that's true is because I've read the totality of Scripture. I've read it cover to cover, and I know that we're taught the principles of investing in other people that don't know God. We're supposed to go out and have friends, and we're told to work hard at our job, so it's okay to work hard, and we're told that it's okay to enjoy life, and so it's okay that your kids are involved in activities, and all those things are fine. That's not the point. The point is priorities. And Mary had her priorities in order. And so when Jesus showed up, she focused on him. Martha, on the other hand, was running around like a crazy person trying to accomplish everything she thought she was supposed to accomplish. In fact, she thought God wanted her to accomplish them. And what Jesus says to Martha, and what I believe he wants to say to every one of you today, you cannot do everything. And I never expected you to. You are trying to do more than I expect of you. Martha needed to hear that, and I think you do too. I think you need to know that the God of the universe looks down at you and says, stop holding yourself to a standard I didn't give you. I did not ever say that you had to be involved in everything and that you had to be a part of every time somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, we need some time. You don't have to say yes. I don't expect you to say yes. I don't want you to say yes. Because you will become distracted by all that you're doing. You will be so pulled by the urgent, you will never be able to focus on the important. See, we all live like Martha. We all want more room to accomplish everything we want to accomplish. What we need to start doing is living like Mary. Because see, Mary knew the secret. Mary knew she couldn't make any more room. Herself. Mary knew the key wasn't to get a bigger room. The key was to make room for God. See, she stopped what she was doing. And she said, okay, I'm gonna listen to you. I'm going to focus on you. Can you do that today? Can you do that this week? Can you press pause on all the craziness of your life and all the activities and all the things? Can you just pause for one moment and say, this isn't working. I don't have enough room. I'm running ragged. I can't accomplish everything I'm supposed to accomplish. I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm living like Martha. So why don't I try to live like Mary? Just for this week. Just for this week, instead of asking God for more room, what if you make room? What if you decide to make room for God so God can make room for you? What if you decide to embrace the truth that there's never going to be more time? That's what God wants to say to you today. He says, I can't give you more time. I can't do it. Time is a finite resource. There are 24 hours in a day. There are 7 days in a week. That's never changing. I cannot give you more room. But he says, I can give you a better room. I can give you a less cluttered room. I can give you a room you enjoy a whole lot more. And in fact, we're going to spend the next month talking about that. But the truth we're talking about today is the primary truth. Because until we do that, we can't apply any of this else to our life. We have to make room for God so God can make room for us. What does that mean? God has to become the number one priority in our life. Above everything else, above all, God must be number one. And then when he becomes number one, guess what? He can begin to shed light and shed wisdom on, you know what? You really don't need to be doing that. It's okay that you didn't get the house spotless today. Can I get an amen, ladies? It's okay. I teach my wife, there is no such thing as clean at our house. I have 3 boys, 8, 6, and 3. Filthy, filthy, filthy. It's clean-ish at best. Unless my mother-in-law comes, then it's clean. there's no such thing. Like, we had to talk about it. You know what? The goal, instead of clean, is a clean room every day. One room. Pick one. Pick one. Pick one room. We're going to clean it that day. Next day, we're going to clean the next room. And it's just going to be a continuing cycle until they go to college. And then we'll have a clean house again. Men or women, all of us. There's never going to come a time where your kid has achieved soccer glory and perfection. It's just not. Sorry, we live in America. They're never going to be that good. You are on the wrong continent if you want your child to be the next Messi. Sorry, it's not in the water here. Business, your job, never be done, ever. You're never going to finish. So stop trying. Stop trying. Put God first, make him the top priority, and let him begin to show you, okay, here's what I want you to accomplish today. Make a couple of phone calls, move some things down the road, and then go home and be with your family. Stop letting the urgent get in the way of the important. Stop being Martha, start being Mary. Here's an interesting thing to see about Mary and Martha. They had the exact same amount of time. Exact same amount of time. And one of them had breathing room and enjoyed their life and was perfectly content. The other almost had a stroke. We know which one we usually are. And we know even Jesus says, that's wrong. So why on earth would we not leave here? Would we not try to make room for God in our life? So that he can make room for us. That's my challenge to you this week. It's very simple. Within the first hour or two of you being awake, I know some of you, you need an hour just to wake up. I get it. You need, like the coffee IV and whatever it is. I don't drink coffee, so I don't get it. But whatever it is you do, set aside 10 minutes. I'm just talking 10 minutes. I'm not talking about an hour. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about 10 minutes. If you've never done it before, 10 minutes. And just be quiet. Turn everything off. Turn the radio off. You can even do this while you're driving. Just keep your eyes open. Just stop and pause. And say, all right, God, I want to put you first today. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to make room for you. If you have a Bible, read it. If you have an iPhone, download the Bible app on your phone and read it. If you want to listen to some music, go to iTunes, man. Download some of the songs we sing here. There's a lot of great churches around we can point you to that write their own music. Download that stuff and listen to it. And just spend 5 to 10 minutes this week, every day, just making room for God. Say, oh God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to pause everything else I'm doing. I'm going to put you first. I want to hear from you. I just want you to guide me today. Show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to focus on. Show me what I don't need to worry about. Show me what can wait till later. I promise you, that one step will change your life. And I know you think, oh, but I'm so busy, I got so much to do. And some of you are still bothered that Martha was wrong because you're like, no, somebody had to cook the food, you know? The problem is that Jesus, you know, he fed 5,000 people by himself, so I'm pretty sure he could have handled the food. You know, he could have just walked in and said, clean, and cleaned the whole house, just like that. He was Jesus. See, it's funny, but hear me. He's Jesus. If you have faith in him, you believe he died and came back to life. I think he can help clear out your kids' activity schedule, and it'll be okay that they don't do all five. Jesus will cover them with his Holy Spirit, all right? They'll be fine. He will handle the teen mom that's mad that you can't bring food 3 weeks in a row, right? He'll handle that. He's a big God. But see, we have to take the step. You know why? Because he's given us enough time every day to accomplish everything he wants us to accomplish. Which means we don't have a time problem. We have a priorities problem. So if we want breathing room in our life, we have to change the priorities of our life. So it's entirely up to you. If you are 100% satisfied with your life and the way you're living it and the time you have for the things you enjoy and the things you care about, and you're fancy free and you don't worry about things, by all means, don't change a thing. Don't. But if that video really did feel like it was your office and that's how you feel, I say it all the time. Who was it? Albert Einstein. His definition of insanity was to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. If you want a different result, try a different approach. And the approach for us is simple. Make room for God, so God can make room for you. This week, make him the top priority of your life. Seek him first. Ask for his clarity. Ask for his guidance. And watch what happens. And then come back next week, because I'm going to explain more about Martha and we'll talk about it. And you'll be understanding that there is a time to clean. There's a time to do all those things. It's just not when Jesus is at your house. You do not have to live at 120 miles an hour. You don't. God has better. And it's available. You just have to take it. Stop being Martha. And start living like Mary. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We just thank you that you are so clear and you're so practical and that you care about every single aspect of our lives. And Lord, I just pray right now that you will give us the courage and the wisdom to walk out of here and to actually take a step and to begin making room for you so that you can make room for us. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to declutter our lives, that we can begin to ignore the urgent and focus on the important, that we can elevate you to your proper place. And God, we trust you that when we do that, you will take care of the rest. We thank you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.